Are we here? Good evening, everyone. Thanks for being here this evening. We have a big crowd, which is great. Would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We will call tonight's meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrick.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Sampson.
Here.
Thank you very much. We've been asked to try and move the item number 6 up, so we can move item number 6 up to 4B. Is there any other modifications to the agenda? Do I have a motion to adopt the agenda as amended? Trustee Dart?
So moved.
Thank you. Trustee Harris? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements. Excuse me. There will be no village board meeting on January 1st. I apologize to all of those of you who make these Tuesday nights your entertainment night. But we'll let you have a celebration for the holiday. We will, however, have our meeting, our second meeting this month, the third Tuesday of the month. The 2019 dog licenses are now available. You can pick up your dog licenses, which are required here at Village Hall by mailing the dog license application form, which you can get on the Village website, and at two local veterinarians, the Alloway Animal Hospital and Riverside Animal Hospital. We require all dogs 5 months and older be licensed each calendar year. If you have any questions, call Village Hall, but they're available. Thank you. On December 8th, if you're looking for something to have a lot of fun with, head over to Heritage Hill for the Spirit of Christmas Past. Celebrate and learn about the development of Christmas, when it became an American tradition, and how it would have been celebrated during different periods of Wisconsin's early history at Heritage Hill. We'll have local musicians, family photos with Santa, and a lot more. Horse-drawn wagon rides. Adults are $10. Children 3 and up and students with ID are $7. Kids 2 and under are free. Are there any other announcements from the board? Any other announcements from staff? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 4A, the Alloway Beautification Committee. Has been a committee that has been serving the beautification needs of the Village of Alloway for a long time. As you drive up and down Webster and on corners along Riverside and throughout the village, you'll see some beautiful flowers during the spring, summer, and fall months. And we can thank the Beautification Committee for that. And we have Lynn Heyer with us tonight.
Yes, thank you. So it's good to be with you this evening, and it's a very, very big honor for me to represent the committee this evening. So my name is Lynn Heyer, and I'm a longtime Alloway citizen, very proud of that as well.
Thank you. Lynn, could you adjust the microphone so everyone can hear you? And could you give us your address, too, please?
Yes, 1321 Garland Street.
Thank you.
So let me take a moment to thank the board for giving us time on the agenda and also for the support that the board and the village gives the committee. We truly appreciate that. So we'll begin with who, what, and why the Alloway Beautification Committee exists. 23 years ago, a band of citizens got together and created this mission to promote pride in our community by working together to enhance and preserve the beauty and unique character of the village of Elway. And I would say they've been doing a darn good job for the last 23 years. But what are we responsible for? The number one thing is we do an annual fundraising where we purchase the flowers planted along Webster and along Riverside Drive. We also coordinate Wish Readers Flowers, who design, plant, and water those flowers. And we solicit 50 community volunteers to weed and maintain the beds, the pots, and the roundabouts. So if we could look at some financial history, which you'll see here. You'll notice that if there's an asterisk next to the year, that indicates that that was an all-village fundraising mailing. So a donation letter was sent to all residents and all businesses during that year. When there is no asterisk, that is where we only mailed to the prior year's donors. So as you can read, year 2013, with an all-village mailing, we received 323 donations for a total of $12,559. 2014, 398 donations, $13,745. 2015, which happened to be our 20th anniversary, big pop there, 409 donations, $15,147. 2016, 324 donations, total $12,579. 2017, and you notice here, this is where we're only mailing to past donors, 342 donations, $14,360. And this year, we're closing out 2018, 311 donations for a total of $13,876. So we've been working hard to both increase funding using awareness and education, and also we are very cognizant of the responsibility that we have to be fiscally responsible. So let me share with you what we've been doing to raise awareness and education with our fellow residents and business owners. We've reached out to other like-minded organizations for best practice ideas. We use Garden of the Month signs for those residents and businesses who have won the monthly acknowledgement of Best Garden. And we also acknowledge those winners in the Press Gazette. We have honor pots that celebrate, and also we use in memory of loved ones. Those are $100 a piece. We placed a banner asking for volunteers and financial support to include handing out ABC donation flyers at the LeBrun Yardway site and the Alloway's Farmers Market. We're placing articles in the Alloway Neighbors magazine. We collaborate with the Alloway Lions Club. We've created an ABC website, ABC logo, and ABC Facebook page. Please like us. And we've added an online payment option. We increased our exposure, and you saw the bump in that 2015 number when we celebrated our 20-year anniversary. And we did that by visiting some key Alloway businesses. And we also had a joint promotion with the village. We did an Austin supermarket donation project. Not so much for the money, but again, for exposure. And we've also been giving financial updates on an annual basis to the Alloway Business Group. But we know we're responsible for reducing our costs. We eliminated our annual fall thank you, where we thanked all of our donors and all of our volunteers. We've done targeted mailings for donation requests. You'll notice I mentioned the all village versus just past donors. We had to do a cost dollar analysis, and we realized we were not getting a bang for the buck for the cost that it was taking for us to mail to everyone. We reduced plantings by switching from plots to POTS. We've added new residents to our latest mailing, and we'll continue to update our mailing with new residents every year. We requested all of our members to bring 10 more names of potential donors, and we've been coordinating with Schrader's to reduce costs in the future. We're also using the intelligent mailing for small business that's provided by the U.S. Postal Office, and that has significantly reduced our cost in the mailing. And you probably noticed that 100% of our efforts are volunteer, so absolutely no cost. So why are we here? We sincerely need your help to bring our efforts to the next level. It is not EBC's intent to incur costs for the village, but to find ways that we can use the infrastructure that you currently have to heighten awareness and to promote donations. We have a few ideas, but we really want to meet and brainstorm with the village. So some of our thoughts. Use of the Alloway bus to send out ABC donations and volunteer requests during our annual donation mailing. Posters for those of us that aren't high-tech at the Alloway Village Hall, Green Isle Park, and the Community Center. So those are a few of the top-of-mind ideas that we've had. But we are very open and would love to meet with the village.
Is that
Paul? Lynn, can you share a little bit of information on the cost of the flowers and pots? I think that maybe a lot of people aren't aware of the high cost of the plantings themselves. That's where most of that fund goes, am I correct?
Absolutely. I'm just speaking off the top of my head. I don't have particulars, but I would say anywhere from 90 to 95% of all of our funding goes not just for the plantings, but also we do need to pay Schrader's for the efforts that they make. They have, you know, staff that are out there, they're doing the planting, you see them watering, and they also help us with the heavy lifting, if you will, moving our Christmas pots and doing those kinds of things. So yes, a huge part of our funding has to do with the actual plants and the work that we do with Schrader's.
It just hit on another key point. I know that in talking with you, this has come up with your group, is the flags that go out and the need for new things to hold the flags because they're all dented. I know you work with the fire department on that, but just share that issue and what's needed to make sure the flags can still go up.
And I'm remiss to not point out that the firefighters here do a great job in supporting us and putting the flags out during key holidays. But as anything that happens, the flags, you know, they get tattered with weather. We also are having some issues with the structure that hold the flags in place. And we will be brainstorming. We're hoping to do as much of that as we can with volunteer. But we may, there will be some cost involved for materials, I'm sure. But it is an important tradition that we want to keep alive. We think it's an important thing for the village to do. Thank you, Penny.
Any questions for Lynn?
Yeah, Lynn, the typical volunteer spends how many hours, would you say?
I'm a volunteer myself. I have the plot that I affectionately call the Santa Fe Garden. It's right across from the Santa Fe Salon. And I would say I'm up there an hour and a half, maybe every third week.
Okay.
Through the season, so anywhere from May to October.
But you share that plot with another gentleman?
I do.
And he does it the other week?
Yes, he does. Yes.
Oh.
Those weeds grow fast.
Any other questions or thoughts?
No, but it's beautiful. people have commented over and over again who visited the community as well as residents who live here. So, yeah, we look forward to that continuing too. So, I don't know. My feeling is any way we can help out, we should.
So, my understanding is next steps we'll plan some time.
But I think we can do that. I know we can do that, and I would recommend we'll let Brad Lang, the administrator, and recommend that we organize a meeting to figure out how we can help you promote it.
That'd be wonderful.
Chris, did you have something?
You know, maybe this isn't the right time to ask this, but do you get people asking you to expand the area that you put out displays?
We haven't really had so much questions on expansion, but we do get comments about could you change the flowers on the roundabouts, and, you know, friendly suggestion.
From landscape designers. Well, it is. I think that's unique to Alloway. Your service is unique to Alloway, and you do a wonderful job. And I'm guessing we have some other people from the beautification committee.
We do. So,
could we ask you to stand up, folks? Thank you for what you do. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, yeah, well, should Brad be in contact with you to set it up?
We'll figure that out.
Okay, very
okay,
good.
Who's the
We'd
best
love
person?
To help.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, action item new, 4B, the police contract. Julie, would you like to hold on a second, gentlemen, and then you're being asked to sign. Nope.
I would speak loud. Brad included a memo in your packet with the renewal cost for the police services contract for 2019 through 2021. And the staff is recommending approval of this contract with the understanding of a possible reduction in charges should the state reimburse the county for investigative services to Green Bay Correctional Institution.
And what Julie is referring to those who don't know, we pay for police services when police officers are called to the Green Bay Correctional Institution. We're the only... It's our understanding that we're the only municipality in the state of Wisconsin that does that. It's because we're unique. We don't have our own police department, so we contract with the county, and we have a state prison in our boundaries. So we're unique in that way. We're working with Senator Cole's office to get that fixed, and Sheriff-elect Todd DeLaine, and has been working with our Brad Lang to work on a letter of understanding. Before we get into too many things, why don't I invite, or we'll suspend, I'll take a motion to suspend the rules.
So moved.
Second by Trustee Dirt. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. I'd like to invite Mr. DeLaine up, please, to talk about the contract.
It's a soup day.
Excellent. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. So we're being asked to sign the contract, and we want people to have asked questions and have you answer them, and then do you want to give any kind of a statement about the current contract? Or?
Sure, I can start off by saying, first and foremost, the Roanoke County Sheriff's Office is honored to be able to provide police services contracts to the contract to the Village of Alloway. I believe the original contract goes back into the late 1960s, so the Sheriff's Office has been providing these law enforcement services to the Village for a very long period of time, and we're absolutely honored to be able to do that. For those who may not be aware, any municipality that exceeds 5,000, a population of 5,000, meaning village or city, they're required to have that 24-hour law enforcement services. And the partnership that the county and the Village of Alloway have developed over the years has really been beneficial to the municipalities as well as the county, because many of the services are combined, meaning we're not duplicating services, especially when it comes to administrative costs. So supervision and administrative stuff like policy and evidence, we can share in those costs. And it's not only the Village of Alloway. The Burke County Sheriff's Office also provides law enforcement services to the Village of Bellevue, Village of Howard, Village of Swamico, as well as the Village of Denmark. So it works out well for all of the municipalities, and I think it's reflective of, you know, the cost that per person that the municipalities pay for those services. So I truly believe it's a win-win, and we value the partnership, and we want to work with all the municipalities to ensure that we're providing a very high quality of service at the best, most efficient cost. One of the unique things about the Village of Alloway that certainly everybody in this room knows is with Green Bay Correctional Institution and the state institution. That does have an impact on the municipality because they do draw resources, particularly related to both law enforcement as well as other resources, whether it be rescue or anything else. And as investigative resources are needed to follow up on stuff, that increases the amount of time and resources we put into the municipality, and that gets calculated into the overall contract. One of the things that I had an opportunity to speak to Mr. Lang about is working with the state and us being in partnership with the village to detail these related expenses in hopes that the state would contribute back to the village, or if necessary, my understanding is that they have done it in other counties where they reverse the sheriff's office because maybe the municipality has their own law enforcement. But one of the things that we talked about is if we can work with the state to receive some funds back from the state to offset some of those expenses, that we want to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the village. And I'm going to work with the Corporation Council to have that so that if we're able to get money back, that would reduce the expense of the contract. So any funds that we would receive from the state related to Green Bay Correctional would then reduce the cost of the contract.
Do you have any idea what we spend today on investigative services or calls to GBCI?
I do have the number of calls. About roughly 30% of our investigative calls are related to Green Bay Correctional. So within the village. In 2015, they made up about 39%, 2016, 44%, 2017, 33%, 2018, we're at about 35%, and that was as of the end of August. So, and I don't have an updated number since then, but the average for the last several years has been about 37.7% of all of the follow-up that we need to do with our services in the village relates back to Green Bay Correctional Institution. So that's a significant impact to the municipality, and we want to address that with the state and help the village in regards to that.
Do you know how that 37% equates to dollars?
I don't have it right off of the top of my head, but
it looks like between 40 and 50,000.
That would be about right. Okay. Let me quickly kind of look at it.
The total is 115.
So there you go.
Okay. Thank you, Penny.
Doing your job.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Delaney?
Just so I make sure I heard you right, your preliminary research said there were other counties that the state has already gotten involved with to make sure those costs are being parceled out correctly, fairly?
So I received that information from Mr. Lang, who has been in contact with the State Department of Corrections. So I have not talked to the state about that. But my understanding, if I understand it correctly, and I know he's not here today, but is that in other counties within the state of Wisconsin in which they have a correctional institution, that the county has been receiving funds for providing services to the prison. In Brown County, we don't receive any funds from the state of Wisconsin because of Green Bay Correctional. So if we were able to get some funds from the state, we would want to be able to use that to reduce the expense for the village.
Okay. I understand that you, Alloway is doing the research, and now I understand that you didn't necessarily verify or were aware of that previously.
That is correct. However, I think Sheriff Gossage has kind of looked at this before, and my understanding is that his understanding was similar to the information that Mr. Lang had received, was that in I believe it might be Dodge County, which has a few correctional institutions, that the state of Wisconsin was contributing towards providing an investigator. I don't know if it was the complete cost. I don't have that information, but they were contributing to it, and I think that's the route that we want to go, is to find out how much they're contributing, what that is, and use that in an attempt to reduce the expense to the Village of Alloway.
Julie?
I just wanted to comment. I spoke with the finance director from Dodge County, and we are in that unique situation. We do not have our own police department. We have a prison. So we are paying for those investigative costs. In the other counties, they have their own police department, so the county is solely responsible for those investigative costs and getting the reimbursements from the state. But we haven't been able to connect with Senator Cole's office this week. We were hoping to see what can be done for Alloway in that regard.
I know his office has been working on it.
Yes.
They've had conversations. So.
Yep.
And it was interesting talking about the new juvenile facility that may be going near Hortonville and between Hortonville and New London, and they were saying that the local municipalities would not be charged for any investigative services or EMS, and we've got a significant amount of fire rescue that runs in there too. So I am most interested in seeing how we can change both of those, because our residents are bearing the brunt of that.
Yes, we do receive what's called a payment for municipal services for having, and it's basically based on the value of that property. But when you work out the math, we're getting approximately $5,000 towards the prison. So.
I think that property is undervalued.
We should do something about that.
But, you know, when we talk about what is it costing Alloway, if we look at the percentage of investigative costs that are Green Bay Correctional, you know, we split between the village and Green Bay Correctional. I've got, including the admin fee, $166,000 in the 2019 contract, and $66,000 of that is personal.
And any other property would have a problem property citation by now.
So. Okay, thanks. Any other questions for Mr. Delane? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
We'll pick up the rules. Motion, Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Sampson. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. My personal, yep, I read through the contract. The first thing I would like to do, I would like to see our legal counsel review the document. In reading the document, I saw that there were two references to the Village of Bellevue. Mr. Delane? In reading through the contract, there are two references to the Village of Bellevue. So I would, that is on page 4
page 4 in paragraph G1 and page 7 paragraph H5. And I have a couple of typos, but I'll just tell the staff about that, but I would like that to be cleaned up. The service that we've gotten from the Brown County Sheriff's Department, I think, has been great. Our DEO and the officers that serve this village do a tremendous job and represent our village extremely well. I would like to see a letter of understanding in place prior to, at least having been reviewed by our legal counsel, prior to approval of a document. That's my wish. Mr. Delane, do you know how long it'll be before you'll have a letter of understanding?
No, sir. I can't give you a specific. That's up to Corporation Council, but we I have no objection to continuing with the status quo with the village. I don't anticipate it being very long.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the memorandum of understanding is pretty clear cut. So if this board so choose to table until next month, it will not affect the services. The sheriff's office is going to continue to do what it needs to do for the village, you know, with the understanding that we're talking about a memorandum of understanding that should be an issue.
Okay. So you don't think it would be ready by our next meeting, which is 2 weeks from now?
I can try to expedite it to have it to you here. I will do what I can to have it to you in advance of that, so you can give me that time to review. So I can go back and try to push it along even tomorrow to try to expedite it. But again, I don't write it, so I can't promise anything.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I will actually make a motion to postpone discussion on this until at least our next village board meeting, and after to have our attorney review the contract in detail. I have a second on that motion. Trustee Green?
Second.
Any discussion on that? Or any other thoughts on this that we can share with anyone? Okay. Hearing none, we have a motion on the table to postpone until at least our next meeting and have review of our legal counsel in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thanks for being here. Agenda item number 5. We'll move into public appearance. Is there anyone in the audience tonight who is here that would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the official village of Alloway Bike Pit Committee. Last week on the agenda, there were pages missing from the Public Works presentation. Some of those pages have been included in tonight's meeting. Those pages are still missing with regards to West St. Joseph Street and the Arboretum Trail. Sean is doing a great job since he took over, but there were some major changes to the capital improvement budget at the end of the term of the last Public Works Administration. So here's a spreadsheet from the Public Works meetings. One is dated 12/13 of 2017, and all of Alloway, all of Oakwood Avenue was going to be renovated, and West St. Joseph Street was going to be resurfaced. Some things were done, and people kind of know that Public Works Director was not happy with me, and for some reason he removed the 2300 block of Oakwood Avenue from being renovated. And it sounds far-fetched, but if you take a look at what's happened in there, is the documents from the November meeting, which were just presented just before the village board budget meeting. There was a complete package on the streets that were going to be renovated along with street designs. And that package has been split up, and pages are missing, split up into two, and some of the pages were missing from that public works meeting. And I really like the public works meeting. Sean is doing a great job, but for some reason, by the time it gets here and put on the agenda, the facts are not complete. So the village board approved a budget without knowing everything that was in the public works plans for next year. And I just wanted to make sure that all of Alloway, all of Oakwood Avenue is going to be reconstructed next year, and that I'm surprised that the current plans are to have two sidewalks on West St. Joseph and to not do the Arboretum Trail. People need to get from our business district down to the Fox River Trail along the river. That's one of our best assets in the village, is the Fox River Trail, and to be able to get down there through the Arboretum Trail, that's part of the economic benefit of having that trail down there. So again, I would like to make sure that all of Oakwood Avenue goes back to the way that it was supposed to be built on the December 13th of 2017 spreadsheet that was put out by the Public Works Department, and not the April 2nd, 2018. So in 4 months, some big changes were made, and I attend the meetings, and it wasn't explained why they deleted the 2300 block of Oakwood Avenue. Thanks.
Thank you.
And again, Sean's doing a great job, and he's come on in. So, you know, it's there were just some things lost in the transition.
Thanks. Thanks. Is there anyone else here who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda? Hearing none, we will close public appearance. And Jim, you could have talked about that during the agenda item.
I did.
No, during the upcoming agenda item where we are going to talk about this, but we'll take your comments as part of that. Okay. Let's move on to item number 7, action regarding a request from Don Snyder at Lamar Outdoor to convert their billboard on Riverside Drive to digital. I'd like to invite Mr. Lamar, or Mr. Snyder up.
He wishes he was
Mr. Lamar.
Lamar.
Come on up.
Mr. Lamar. We'll
invite Mr. Snyder up. Oh, okay.
Okay. I can stay in the room. I'm not worried.
Yeah, you can do that during the
room. All right.
I'll put it back, I promise.
I thought you were doing something.
You've got 3 minutes.
3 minutes? I'm on the clock already.
Welcome back.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be back. I apologize for missing the two previous appointments, but I had something come up that was a little more important. I may get a little breathy on you. I'm not at full lung capacity quite yet, but I'm getting better every day. So appreciate it. I'm here again to talk to you about a different location than what we worked on over a year ago. This location is down by St. Mike's on Riverside. It backs up to the railroad tracks. Previously, we had talked about Monroe and Marine, and there were some people that live in that neighborhood that had objections to it because of possible light spillage, and they just didn't want it in their community. And so I took that into consideration at that meeting, and that's why I didn't get back up and rebut at that time. This location alleviates all that. There is not going to be any light spillage on anybody. And the housing is all behind the railroad tracks, which is elevated behind the sign, so nobody will ever see any light coming back over the sign. Second of all, so again, it's not going to have any impact on residential. So to me, it makes sense. It's a state highway. I was just talking to the newly elected sheriff. We've done a lot of work with the Brown County Sheriff's Department for wanted people and various other things, and he's excited about carrying that on. So, also, just a comment about your beautification committee. We'd be happy to promote that on the digital. I've offered space to you guys before, and I'm here to give you my word. My word is good. You can ask any of the communities around us. We currently have 26 digitals up, and there's been no accident increases. If there had been, we'd have been asked to come down. But anyhow, I got a lot of facts to go through, so I want to move along. Pardon me for my breathiness. I do have a picture of the location for you guys.
Thank you.
Can see in the picture that butts up against. Is everybody familiar with that location? Okay, so I don't need to go on about that. I also want to talk about, just briefly, again, about my word. You guys approached us about the Monroe and Marine location and putting a sidewalk in through our easement, and we were not opposed to that. We worked quite well with your attorney and got that done quickly. That's how we work, so I just want to emphasize that with you. Secondly, I have an aerial view for you of this location. Again, this will verify that the residential is all behind it. View of the location and what's around it. My understanding is the current owner of that property has been remodeling it, and I think is going to put it back up for sale. So that's my understanding.
You mean the little building?
Right, yeah, the building right by our sign. St. Mike's is the next building over there. Yeah. We use that as a reference, St. Mike's, because everybody knows St. Mike's. Mm-hmm. Let's see, where am I? I want to talk about nationally, digital billboards have been accepted. The federal government passed laws to allow them in 2006, and so did our state. And I have some of that information. Because of my breathiness, I'm not going to read all this stuff. Put you through it. There was talk about problems with traffic last year when we talked about this. I have actually six studies here that show that there is no problem. I can either read these findings or we can just put them into records. My preference would be to put it in the record and have you guys look at it that way, if that's okay. There was one down in Cleveland, Richmond, Virginia. Berks County, Pennsylvania. Cuyahoga County, Ohio, which is Cleveland. I'll give these to staff. These are the actual studies right here for them to go through. copy of the state statute that allows billboards. And that's recommended. State statute is 8430. I got the highlighted part of it, and I will read this. Signs may contain multiple or variable messages, including messages on louvers that are rotated and messages formed solely by use of lights or other electronic or digital displays that may be changed by electronic process, subject to all of the following restrictions. Each change of message shall be accomplished in less than 1 second. Each message shall remain in a fixed position for at least 6 seconds. The use of traveling messages or segmented messages is prohibited. And then it goes on to talk about the department ruling that. So again, I'd like to get this evidence into record, if I may. Mm-hmm. Here's the state statute I was just talking, referring to. Talked to you folks in the past about helping the police department and the local communities, and I've got an article on that for you as well. We just got done doing an Amber Alert for that girl in Barron County, and then after the Amber Alert was pulled, the FBI asked us to run her information for a few weeks after that. Unfortunately, there haven't been any results yet to that, but we do quite a bit of that. And right now, our biggest use of public service like that is silver alerts. Seniors walking away from homes or facilities. That's become a big deal. Next one talks about public opinion of billboards. I've highlighted some of the sections. More than 85% believe that billboards are useful to travelers. More than 80% agree that billboards both help create jobs and help business attract customers. More than 83% agree that billboards are informative. And it goes on with some other information. Thank you. We're slowly getting towards the end. I guess the big question comes down to why LA, why here? First of all, you guys have three billboard structures in your village. Lamar owns all those. We're not asking for any more. We're not asking for any less. We're just asking to convert this one. So then that brings non-conforming into the equation, which we've talked about in the past. I have an article here from a municipality in South Carolina that passed a new ordinance that allows billboards to be upgraded to digital and still remain non-conforming. I thought that was pretty interesting. This just happened a couple months ago. So I brought that with me.
Yep.
I'm not here to ask you to change the designation. If you want the billboards to remain non-conforming, that's fine. I heard some opinions last time that the idea of non-conforming was that they would go away at some point. And that's really a misconception because they're made out of steel. And that steel is very thick. These structures are going to be here when your grandchildren are my age. So what do we do with them? Do we just wait for them to rot and tip over? Or do we fix them up, make them look good, and just not allow any more within the village? They're not going to go away. And so you might as well realize that. And I'm not asking for new structures. I'm just asking to change out the face of the one at St. Mike's. Okay. I'm getting breathier as we go, so I'm going to stop and answer any questions you guys may have.
Thanks. Any questions? You done? Trustee Sampson?
Sure. I haven't been part of any previous presentations. I'm relatively new to the board. Could you point me in the direction of another neighborhood or community or municipality where you've done a conversion like this, and maybe there was some questions at the outset, and it doesn't have to be right now, but in the next few days, if
I can talk about all the conversions I've done, to be honest with you, because I started with Green Bay in 2009, and I worked with them on their ordinance, and it took a year for them to get their ordinance switched over to allow digitals, and we put three up that year, and then we didn't put any up for a while. In the meantime, I worked with Fond du Lac. I helped write their ordinance. We have them on city streets down in Fond du Lac. What was the next one I worked
on? Appleton,
Grand Chute. I have them on city streets down there. I have a back-to-back on Wisconsin Avenue. I have another one on Northland. And then I have a big one on Highway 41, or Interstate 41, south of College. So I have Ashwaubenon. We worked with them. We've got them in Ashwaubenon. I have one in Ashland. That's the same size as what we're asking to do here. And
And I would be interested in a apples to apples comparison. You know, residential or edge of a residential neighborhood.
My preference is to stay out of residential. We've talked about that. I felt we did a lighting study for the one at Monroe and Marine, and the lighting that would have hit the people that were closest to that was very minimal. But I could tell they were upset, and they had the board's ear. And it's like, I'm not here to upset people. I'm here to work with you. I'm here to work with the community. So we went back and reevaluated, and this one makes sense because it backs up to the railroad tracks. And the residential is on the other side of the railroad tracks. So there will be no light spillage back there. You can tell by the picture how much higher the railroad tracks are than the billboard. So the only people who are going to see this are driving north on Riverside.
Thank you.
We stay out of residential as much as possible. Actually, it's prohibited in every municipality that we work with.
Are there other municipalities where billboards are not allowed?
Yes.
Where you have digitals?
Yes.
Okay. So they're grandfathered in?
Anything that we have is grandfathered in. And we have not requested. I've been working with Appleton for 10 years. That's been a tough one to crack. However, I did get Grant Shute to work with me on it. So, but there's a lot of locations that we just don't want them in either. Okay. It don't make sense. You know, quite honestly, our revenue base is Green Bay, Appleton, Grand Chute, Oshkosh, and Fond du Lac. And you guys are a part of the greater Green Bay community.
Okay. Any other questions? Trustee Harris.
Has there been any interaction? You mentioned the building next to St. Mike's that's getting potentially up for sale. I completely understand what you're saying in terms of light not going onto a residential area, and I don't know, I'm trying to picture in terms of driving by, I didn't pay enough attention to that specific building, how much light would impact or affect that building as well as St. Mike's.
During the daytime, there's not going to be any impact at all, and that will be the brightest it will be is during the day.
Right, you're changing the
illumination. So it dims down at night. That's an office building, so we're assuming that it's not going to be occupied at night. St. Mike's, I don't know if they have windows on that side or not, but their doorway will see some of the light.
Okay.
But, you know, it's going to be...
I've actually talked to both landowners, and they are excited about the amount of light that will light the parking lot.
It may be a nice safety feature for them. I don't know.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mr. Snyder? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. And thank you for putting up with me being out of breath.
Well, thanks for being here. And for all the work.
Yeah. You got some reading to do.
We have an option. We can either I'll entertain a motion or we can open it up in case anyone is interested in speaking on this matter. I have a motion to suspend the rules. So, Trustee Genrich. Seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? We'll suspend the rules and open it up to anyone who would like to speak on this matter, and then we'll close the rules and then the board will pick up with it. So, who'd like to come first? Come on up.
My name is Deb Bria. I live at 924 Derby Lane. Thank you for coming, people, and giving me the opportunity to speak. One of the things that comes to my mind is our slogan here is historically progressive in this community, and how does bringing in billboards into a residential area, how is that progressive? That's what I want some us to think about. And as was questioned, are we comparing billboards in these other municipalities to this area, which is a residential area? The ones that I see in Green Bay are not residential areas. So that concerns me, plus the fact that we've already communicated to the board that we as citizens don't want that there, and yet here we are again with the same discussion. I brought some information from the Wildlife Sanctuary concerned about digital signs, and I can share a little bit of this with people if they want. Right here it says, poorly designed lighting on roadways and highways contribute to tragic accidents. Motorists and pedestrians can be temporarily blinded by glare from electronic signs. The problem is more acute for older individuals. Okay, so, and I don't agree that this isn't going to affect homes, the lighting coming into homes, but that's what the vendor is saying. So let's talk about also people walking, people driving. What about wildlife? Here, this other pamphlet says, artificial lights disrupt the world's ecosystems. Plants and animals depend on the Earth's daily cycle of light and dark to govern life-sustaining behaviors such as reproduction, nourishment, sleep, and protection from predators. Scientific evidence suggests that artificial light at night has negative and deadly effects on many creatures, including amphibians, birds, mammals, invertebrates, and plants. We have the Fox River Trail right close by. That's one of our jewels, as you mentioned tonight in Alloway. Another pamphlet talks about humans need a natural day-night circadian cycle. And when it's disrupted, when the circadian rhythm is disrupted, there's an increase in obesity, diabetes, mood disorders, reproductive problems, and cancers. It also mentions numerous studies have linked exposure to light at night to increased risks for breast cancer and prostate cancers and other health problems. So there's effect on animals, humans. Those are things we need to think about. And the bottom line is, we've already been voiced our opinions in other meetings that we don't want that billboard sign, the electronic version. And so my question is, why is this continually being brought up and taking up everybody's time and resources? And my other thing is, the information that was handed out to all of you, is that available for public people to look at, to scrutinize also? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Deb. Come on up.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
I'm Val Hutchison. I live at 812 Derby Lane. And I do have a petition that was passed out at the very end of our block party this summer with a couple dozen names on it that are against digitizing the billboard. Further, it got was the very end of them. No one circulated it. But anyway, and I've had a lot of people calling me about this issue, and I think you've had some emails. Mm-hmm. Hopefully people said they were going to email. I am puzzled, honestly puzzled, about that it is a residential area. It's right on the edge. It's right on our boundary for our neighborhood. So, I don't understand saying, that it's... Because I also have a quote here that says, billboards are never appropriate in residential or scenic areas. That's taken from the Outdoor Advertising Association of Wisconsin that Mr. Snyder is treasurer of. And that is the scenic area, certainly, and it's a residential area. It's less than a half mile away from the other two billboards that we, as a neighborhood, did not want digitized either. And it's not to punish, Lamar Advertising. It's to preserve the historic and aesthetic qualities of our neighborhood and to reduce accidents, because they do cause accidents. The studies that, one study that the Outdoor Advertising Association always quotes was paid for, funded by an affiliated group. So when you're reading whatever that is, please, and I know you will, you look to studies by municipalities and governments, not anybody with any skin in the game. Because they're just, if you look at the 2-second rule, the analysis of the 100-car naturalistic driving study conducted by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, released in 2006, showed that taking your eyes off of the road for more than 2 seconds for any reason not directly related to driving, like looking in the rearview mirror, significantly increased individual near crash and crashes. So, and there was a study done by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation on a sign after the sign had been erected that found that side swipe and rear end collisions were up as much as 35%. So those are sort of, you know, groups I would look at and believe. Lamar is a company that is $26 billion today, and they have a huge lobby that is constantly pushing for changes in our laws, and the federal government passed laws to regulate them, not to allow them. I mean, they passed laws to regulate because, you know, when those laws were initially written down, there were no digital billboards. So they did pass laws to regulate. Most local communities are much stricter than the government laws, and when the state and the federal or the local disagree, the more restrictive law stands. So, you know, yes, those billboards are all in our neighborhood, all of them. And municipalities all across the country are finding that they don't want billboards at all, and certainly not digital ones, and progressive communities are banning billboards altogether and finding that they have economic growth after. And there are studies. I gave you all, you know, a huge packet of all this stuff last time this came up. I don't know if you still have it, but all of that is in there. And we just don't want to see that. You know, all that is going to go right to the trail. Wildlife will become affected, not in a good way. And the light from those boards can be seen at least a half mile away. So it's not like the light comes out and is, you know, goes through a tunnel and you can't see it anywhere else in the sky. You know, light travels. It's not going to, just because it's pointed in a certain direction, there will be light escaping. So anyway, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Valerie. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this issue tonight? Hearing none, we'll pick up the rules, and I will entertain a motion. Trustee Harris?
Yes, motion to pick up the rules.
Thank you. Sure. Seconded by Trustee Genrick. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. I will entertain a motion on this item, if anyone has one. Trustee Dart.
I'd like to make a motion to not deny the request based on the fact that it's a non-conforming sign already, and I'll say more after. We'll give a second to.
Seconded by Trustee Green. Any discussion? Trustee Dart.
Yeah, I have to say, maybe a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, we had Webster School in front of us wanting to change their sign. And it was a minor change, and they wanted to update, and they raised the funds by themselves from their homeschool organization, and we wouldn't pass it. They, I mean, it was a simple thing to pass. There wasn't even any lights or any real big change to that, but I have to say we have to treat the business the same as we would treat our non-for-profits or our schools and our individual schools.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments?
Just more of a comment on, you know, I think a couple of people made the point that how come this keeps coming up? We talked about it once and that should be done forever. Mr. Snyder, in this case, does have the right to approach the board or a municipality and say, well, what about this one or what about that? And we have in this situation, I've never said, no, we're never going to talk about that again. So it's his right to approach, and it's our right and responsibility to listen, and it's your right and responsibility to respond and share your opinions as well. So we appreciate all that, and that's kind of why we're here and why we have this kind of a discussion. So I just kind of want to point that out, that, you know, we weren't, as a board, I don't think, looking to bring up an issue that you thought maybe was resolved, but when something comes forward, we do have to deal with it. So that's what we're doing.
Any other comments?
I think we can see research done on these topics in both directions very easily. I went through and found, just in a few minutes of research, Association for Psychological Science, the Federal DOT report, something like Wirespring, Watchfire, the Viridian Group, and you can tell a slant, for lack of better words, through their presentation. You can take the information from the Federal DOT study and look at it as the information is under the two-second rule, the 2,000 milliseconds, but then you, if you wanted to take it, you could look at it and say a regular billboard, according to their study, the distraction is 335 milliseconds. The CEVMS is 379 milliseconds. Depending on how you want to spin it, that's a 13% increase, but it's still less than 0.4 of a second. So however you want to present the same information could be used, whichever side you're trying to represent.
Yeah, I have to agree on that, and I think that was one of the things Val was pointing out, is where did the information come from? And all of the information, most of the information we received tonight was from OAAA, which is, it's hard for me to read, but it's Outdoor Advertising Association of America.
Anything else?
One other comment, and we don't necessarily have to open up the rules, but I am curious, maybe if you can just give me a thumbs up or thumbs down, Don. If a municipality or some entity allowed a digital billboard, but set a threshold of, instead of the 6, 8, 12 seconds of changing, if it was, let's say, once a minute, once every 15 minutes, would, you know, once a day, so that you still have variety of the message going across, would something like that work for an organization doing that advertising?
It depends on the duration, if I may speak. Right now the state allows 6 to 10 seconds. Most of the local ordinances that we put in have been 6 to 10 seconds. Our billboards are programmed at 8 seconds for 6 advertisers a minute. And they switch advertisers in less than a second, so you can't even notice it.
Thank you. I didn't. Don't want to.
Hopefully, I didn't violate your rule.
No, no.
It's important to answer your question.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Any other comments, Trustee Sampson?
Sure. No, I appreciate that we're looking at this differently than the ones on Monroe near Marine Street. Because this really is the kind of the edge. Arguably, it's a different location. Fort Howard Paper Company and all the lights and smokes, you know, it's arguably an industrial area, or has an industrial. I went and drove there after the last meeting, and I think it might have been foggier. I went the next night when it was foggy. And from the billboard that there's, you know, there's what? There's six high you know, lamps lighting up that billboard. And I just think, the technology has probably gotten so much better as far as how much light that it puts out that another year or two from now, if we take this up again, and my inclination is the historic neighborhood there is so strongly against this that I have to side with their observations. But we may be coming to a day, arguably, it's not here yet, when digital billboards, you won't see an old-style billboard anywhere.
Right.
And if people, even the people who have objections about whatever, it'll be pretty generally accepted. So, yeah, it might be premature. I might be inclined to want to find a reason to support this, but not right now.
Any other comments? When I was looking into this, trying to figure out which way I would lean, I did some research. I looked at some of the studies. One of the things I saw in one of the studies, I think it was the Virginia study, was that digital billboards are designed to be more successful at getting people's attention than traditional billboards, and they do a good job of it. In the study that I read, it said that on highways, it doesn't impact, it impacts drivers' attention more so than traditional billboards, but by maybe a half a second to a third of a second, from a second to, say, a second and a third. They are more successful at grabbing people's attention on arterial streets, from the one I read, meaning they grab people's attention longer, to almost 2 seconds. And when I read that, and I thought, if I'm coming north on Riverside Drive, and I'm reading that, as soon as I get past the tracks, I'm at the alley for Alloy Terrace, and Alloy Terrace is right there. And I've gotten emails over the years from folks on Alloy Terrace asking us to get the state to put yield signs or, you know, signs alerting people to the roadway right after the railroad tracks, because it's right around the corner. And when I think about them being distracted more than they can be today, with that concern, I don't see how that can work. I also took a look, last time I talked about the safety on the north end and catching people's attention when people are trying to cross. I think this is also a safety concern. I think about the character of community. I've received a lot of emails and folks coming here tonight, which I thank you very much for. As I've told people via email, it's hard to speak for the people when I don't hear from them. So it's very nice to hear from folks. They've all been very respectful. Some of the emails brought up character of community, historically progressive, who are we as Alloway? And I would agree that a digital billboard doesn't fit into the character of historically progressive. And I can go on and on, but it was the community input. The trail, comments about the trail. I can see that as people are walking on the trail or sitting over at St. Francis Park trying to relax. I see that to be disturbing. I think, kind of like Trustee Sampson, I like digital billboards more than traditional billboards. From an aesthetic perspective, I just don't think that's the right spot for it. And I don't know that Alloy is the right spot for any of them. So that's the research I've done, the work I've done on it, and where I'm coming from. Any other?
One other comment. I appreciate the wildlife and animals that you brought into the conversation, so thank you, Debbie. Because that's something that's, you know, there's deer in our backyards here.
So can I put a digital billboard in my backyard to scare the deer away?
Well, that might be an option.
And before I close out the comments section, I do want to thank Mr. Schneider for coming tonight. You're a very professional presentation, and glad you're back.
Thank you.
Okay, any other comments? Hearing none, we have a motion on the table to deny the request and a second. All those in favor signify by saying...
President Rafferty.
Oh, yep.
I have to recuse myself from this
vote. Trustee Atwood is recusing himself from this vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Action item number 8, right? Yeah. 8. Support of new waters adaptive management plan. At the last Public Works meeting, Director of Public Works brought a letter. Was it also at the Village Board meeting?
Yeah, we did discuss this at the last Village Board meeting.
So I'll turn it over to you, Sean.
Okay.
new water is proposing to use adaptive management to meet future water quality standards. They had provided us a letter to sign and to submit back to them to support their plan that included work in two watersheds on the west side of the Fox River. We discussed it, I believe, the Public Works Committee meeting. We discussed it here, and we're not in favor of that proposed plan. I've taken some time to rewrite the letter. I had emailed a letter to you Monday. President Rafter has reviewed it. He has provided some comments. I'm in agreement with those changes, as long as everybody else is. And with your approval, I will sign and submit this letter to New Water.
Trustee Green?
Move to approve. I like what you two have done here. Mm-hmm.
Most of it then.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? The changes I made were just to let them know that they requested the letter. While we're encouraged by what they have done, we do not support the plan that limits future efforts to the west shore of the Fox River, and we would like to see anything done that impacts the East River watershed as well. So we have a motion to approve and a second. Any discussion?
Question.
Question.
This does not stop any project dead. We're just expressing our feelings about it and hope that they'll address East River watershed stuff, but it doesn't delay or stop anything.
I don't know that we can stop it.
No.
But I would suggest this is the first attempt. I would also ask Sean to share this with other municipalities along the East River watershed to gain their support.
It might prove to be a first step for us. We can take additional steps to pursue this.
Yep.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing done, we have a motion to approve the edited letter. And a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 9, regarding the Public Works minutes dated November 14th, 2018. Mr. Gann, let's talk about A, street utility reconstruction project.
On the screen, my right is a map showing the proposed street reconstruction projects that staff is proposing in 2019 from south to north. It would include Longview Avenue from Delahunt Street to Libel Street. It would include Oakwood Avenue from Green Avenue to Alloway Avenue, but it was the limits were shown as from Green Avenue to Mission on the most current capital improvement plan. We'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Excuse me, Sean.
Yeah.
Trevor, do you mind blowing that up just a little bit? I think you can zoom in. Thank you.
The proposed street reconstruct project also includes Oak Hill Drive from Beaumont to Oakwood Avenue, Summit Street from Beaumont Street to Oakwood Avenue, and it also includes West St. Joseph Street from Riverside Drive to Webster Avenue. For whatever reason, the current capital improvement plan had indicated the limits on Oakwood Avenue were from Green to Mission Avenue. Somebody at the October Public Works Committee meeting had made me aware of that and had questioned the limits. We had looked closer at the project limits. We had looked at cost. We had looked at the condition, the pavement condition of Oakwood Avenue from Mission to Alloway Avenue. We had also looked at the condition of the underground infrastructure. We had brought it back. We had brought a suggestion to the Public Works Committee to extend the limits from Green to Alloway, or Mission to Alloway Avenue, because it makes sense. we're out there reconstructing a road from Green to Mission, it would make sense to finish that section of roadway, not to come back at a later date and have a contractor remold. The cost to reconstruct that segment is roughly $450,000. If we add the 450 plus or minus to the current estimated cost to reconstruct the original plan as indicated on the capital improvement plan, you're looking at a total project cost of just slightly under $4 million. I'm in favor of extending the limits. The Public Works Committee members had also voted to extend the limits. And I would ask that the Village Board would approve the 2019 street utility reconstruction project as explained.
Thank you. Any questions for Sean? Question or motion?
Motion.
Okay, motion.
Move to approve.
I second.
Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? Julie, what does that do to our
budget.
Bonding? And
oops. when I was looking at the planned bonding for 2019-2020, we had $1.1 million for the Riverside DOT project, which is not going to happen. So this would kind of slot into that plan.
Okay. So we're still well within our means? And
we're within our means, but any bonding could result in a tax rate increase also.
And when the capital improvement project was initially planned, it was including Riverside Drive, right?
Correct.
And I know at the time we only approved, I think, a $3 million when we upped, or when we did the every other year plan. The plan was to only allow to bond for $3 million when we upped our maintenance plan to $500,000 a year. So this is above that amount, but you still feel comfortable that we're okay.
Yes.
And doing that. Okay. Jim, you spoke earlier on this issue, so we won't bring it up again.
I'd still like to just point out.
I'm not going to suspend the rules. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
I'm wondering if Sean has anything else to say.
I should mention that it's likely that we would bond for the entire dollar amount. However, the TIF would reimburse the bond for the St. Joseph Street project.
Okay.
And it's estimated the cost to reconstruct St. Joseph Street is estimated at roughly about $1 million.
So then the bonding would end up the same?
Yes.
Actually, less.
Would be the bond for four, and the TIF would actually reimburse the bond.
And that wouldn't be all at once, but over a period of time? Julie?
The bond should all occur at once.
The reimbursement?
The reimbursement, basically, the TIF district would take over that debt.
Okay, I get it.
The debt repayment.
And is the TIF alive long enough to fund
the
bond?
Yes.
Okay.
So in essence, there would be no change to the residential tax rip because we would have $3 million, I'm oversimplifying, $3 million getting charged against the general fund and the repayment, the interest, and $1 million of it would be reimbursed against the TIF district.
Correct. If you're talking about planned increases in mm-hmm. tax rates because of the bonding?
Yes.
Yeah, we're still within your plan.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you for the explanation.
We have a resident who would like to speak. He's spoken already on this issue. Does anyone want to suspend the rules?
As long as it's new information, I'll make that motion.
Is it new information?
Second.
Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Come on up, Jim.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. The reason for the changes on West St. Joseph Street, that is going to now come out of the TID money, and that was originally supposed to be just a resurfacing, and then when it was going to be resurfaced, you were going to put in the Arboretum Trail. But that was supposed to come out of the TID money and not out of the capital improvement, was my understanding. So, and Oakwood Avenue was always, since the July meeting with Jim Rafter and the Public Works Director and 2.5 years ago at St. Matthew's, Oakwood Avenue was always going to be completely redone until, looking at the spreadsheets, the December 13th of 2017, there was a change. It was supposed to be completely included. And then by April 2nd, 4 months later, it was changed and it was pulled out. So you're not adding in something new. It was always there. It was just pulled out temporarily to fund the Arboretum Trail. The Oakwood Avenue was pulled out. 2300 block of Oakwood Avenue was pulled out to fund the Arboretum Trail. So if you take a look at the spreadsheets, that's what happened, and I can explain it to you later. Thanks.
Hey, Jim, just real briefly, just because it caught my eye before when you put it, would you hold up that spreadsheet again?
Yes.
What does it say in the top right-hand corner of that spreadsheet in red ink stamped? I can read it from here. Would you tell me what that says?
Yes. So this is...
No,
this,
just tell me what it says in red at the top right-hand corner of that sheet.
So there's a red stamp that says draft, which is what the...
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so it's 10-2 of 2017. That would I pulled it from the Public Works records. So the way that the Public Works Department works is that they put a draft stamp, they put a stamp on everything when their draft is done, and then that's usually good for the year, and then they upgrade it at a later time.
We are
so
well informed.
Thank you.
So the hand stamping is very important in the engineering world. Thank you.
Thanks.
A draft is exactly that, as we've seen over the years. Plans are made and plans change to adapt to finances, conditions, other priorities. Ultimately, you want to see your street paved, right?
And the Arboretum Trail done. Yeah. Right. So.
So we'll pick up the rules.
Second
by Trustee Dart. Trustee Genrich made the motion. Do we have a motion on this item?
I think we did.
We did.
Do we have a motion? Motion to approve and second, right?
No, it was second by me.
Oh, second by Trustee Atwood. I'm on top of things. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thanks for your hard work, Sean. Agenda item 9B, 2019 Street Reconstruction Proposed Roadway Widths.
Now that we have agreed on the projects, and the projects, I want to talk about the roadway widths. I'm not prepared tonight to talk about St. Joseph Street, and I will bring back discussion on that at the Public Works Committee meeting and back to the Village Board, but tonight I want to get approval on the following roadway widths. I want to get approval on the Longview Avenue roadway width, Oakwood Ave, Oak Hill Drive, and Summit Street. I want to also point out that the Village Code sets minimum roadway widths for local streets, and these are all local streets. The minimum street width by code is 33 feet from back of curb to back of curb. In all cases, the existing roadway width is 31 feet from back of curb to back of curb. In order to move forward to, if we were to match the existing roadway width, I would need an exception from the Village Board. I would need a resolution indicating that an exception has been granted and that we can build a roadway less than the minimum width required by code. On the screen to the right is a typical shows an existing proposed typical section for Longview Avenue from Delahunt to Libel. On the top is an existing section that shows the existing roadway width. The existing right-of-way width varies from 60 to 66 feet. The roadway width from back of curb to back of curb is 31, with 2-foot curb and gutter on each side and 13.5-foot lanes in each direction. Outside of the back of curb is a boulevard. Within that existing boulevard is landscaping, utilities, and lawns. I'm not proposing to change existing width on Longview Avenue. I'm proposing to match the existing roadway width for a couple of reasons. It seems to be operating fine. It's functioning fine. You know, to build a wider roadway would cost more to construct and to maintain. I don't know that we want to make it any narrower than what it is already. It's a narrow roadway, but it's operating fine. Should also point out on this on Longview that in 2017 we reconstructed the roadway from Clay to Delahunt, and we added sidewalk on the north side. So I'm proposing to add sidewalk on the north side to extend what we already have out there to Libel Street. That's the proposed typical section for Longview Avenue. If you want to go to the next typical section. On this sheet, on this plan, I show the existing and proposed typical sections for Oakwood Avenue, East Oak Hill Drive, and Summit Street. The existing roadway width is 31 feet from back of curb to back of curb. The right-of-way in this area, for whatever reason, I don't know, is 50 feet, plus or minus. You have 2 13.5-foot lanes in each direction, curb and gutter, 2-foot curb and gutter on each side, and then you have your boulevards. If you want to go down to the proposed typical section. And again, I'm not proposing that we widen or narrow the roadway. I'm proposing that we match the existing roadway width. Same typical section that we're proposing on Longview Avenue, with the exception we're not going to add sidewalk. We don't have sidewalk out there, and I'm not proposing it. It would be to add walk in this area would be a challenge with the slopes, with the landscaping, with the trees. More so than the slopes than anything. If you've driven Oakwood Avenue, one side of the roadway is quite a bit higher than the other. It will be a challenge to build. But I know that we can do it. Those are the proposed roadway widths, and I'm asking the village board to provide a resolution that would allow for something less than standard.
Okay. Do you have a resolution for us to consider?
I recommend that you
give direction.
Approve the proposed typical sections as discussed and shown.
Okay. It doesn't need to be a formal resolution.
I think it does
to change the ordinance.
The way I was reading the Public Works Committee notes, I thought just the board needed to have it come, that topic needed to come before the board for us to vote upon. Maybe I didn't read the minutes well enough. It just said exceptions to specified minimum width can be granted by the board on a case-by-case basis. So I thought we would need to vote on that this evening, but you need a formal resolution.
I do. The code reads, the village board may, by written resolution, grant an exception from the requirements of this section in any specific case where the board considers that there is a need for granting such exception.
Okay. Thank you. So that would need to come before us on the meeting of the 18th.
Yep. We can't approve one without having it. So,
sorry.
Oh, it's okay. So
Randy's not here. We can't write one on the fly.
So we'll just. I would motion we provide direction to staff to draft a resolution for consideration at the next village board meeting.
Second.
I'll get a second.
Trustee Harris, any discussion?
And a quick question.
Comment? Yep.
Not that you'd know it off the top of your head, but I was just wondering approximately how many other local roads are not complying with the 33-foot designation.
The 31-foot from back curve to back curve is a for the most part, standard. With
31 or 33?
31.
Okay. 31.
Most streets in the village are 31 feet from back curve to back curve.
But our standard for the minimum street width is 33, but most are 31.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand what's in place today.
Generally speaking, it's my understanding, based on this project and looking at other streets, I didn't go out and measure every street, but 31 feet is common throughout the village.
Which and they work really well, and most of our speeding problems are on the wider street. And so, if anything, I'm all for making you know, 31 and getting it back down.
A narrower roadway does calm traffic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would it, in your opinion, make sense to change the ordinance to 31 feet versus 33?
Yeah.
Let's do that. That sounds like a much more reasonable. I mean, when we look at some of the biggest complaints, it's speeding.
I think we should probably follow what we need to do for this one for
the
next
year.
Right.
But
then
it's
2019. For something for 2019, look at altering the standard for the village to make sure that we're taking all scenarios into account. But for this one, and making sure that John has what he needs to get all the 2019 projects done, we just continue on what we had talked about 2 minutes ago.
And I will talk to staff members just to confirm that is the common width. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay. Good point. Thank you. So we have any other comments or anything? We have a motion on the table to direct staff to draft a resolution to allow to keep the widths as they are in the current project. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 10, 2019 street reconstruction, selection of an engineering consultant.
In November, we had put together an RFP, and we had sent it out to five consultants requesting engineering services on next year's street and utility reconstruction project. All five consultants had submitted proposals. The five consultants were Ayers Associates, Cedar Corp, McMahon, MSA, and R.A. Smith. Staff had scored the proposals, and they were scored on the following. They were scored on qualifications, schedule, and proposal meeting the scope defined in the RFP. Brad, Lang, Jeff Piatti, and myself had scored the proposals last week, and R.A. Smith had scored the highest amongst the five consultants. The cost for the engineering services varied from $50,000 being the lowest and $80,000 being the highest. And R.A. Smith was in the middle, somewhere in the middle. Their cost is just over $70,000 to provide topo in some cases, design, and to assist with preparation of specifications. A lot of the work that's included in the scope is drafting. We're going to design the utilities in house. We're gonna on paper lay out the sanitary sewer, water main, the storm sewer. We're going to provide the consultant markup, and they're going to draft it. We're going to assist with the typical sections we have already started. We will mark up construction details for their drafting purposes. And I had mentioned the project manual and the specifications. For the most part, I will be preparing that, and they will offer some assistance if there's a if there's an item that we're not familiar with, then we'll ask them to help us write that. But I guess I feel comfortable with Ari Smith. I actually worked there before. I know a few of the guys that will be working on the project, and I guess I would recommend that the village board approve the selection of Ari Smith.
Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Hendrick.
I would move to follow a staff recommendation to contract with Ari Smith to do the consulting engineering.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Sampson, any questions or comments? Trustee Harris.
When we've done this sort of thing in the past, does anyone know about how much we spend for that consulting work? It just seems, yeah. Even the $50,000 seems kind of high to me. You know, let's say, and especially if we're laying out things for them ahead of time. If they're doing just the drafting, let's even say it's $150 an hour. You're taking 450 hours of time to do this work. So that's to see it. I don't know all the steps involved. It just it caught my attention as to that dollar amount, especially if we're laying out things for them.
Generally speaking, if you're trying to come up with a rough number for engineering services, it's usually 10% of the construction cost. And we're estimating the construction cost at roughly $3.5 to $4 million. So this is quite a bit less than what, if you use a 10% number, it's quite a bit less than that. I did look back at what we had paid McMahon in 2017 on a smaller project. We had paid them. I didn't look at actual invoices, but I looked at the proposal, and it was around $50,000, and that was on a smaller project. That was on a $2.5 million project, and we're talking about a $4 million project. So it is in line with what we paid in the past.
Okay.
And anything we can do to minimize this cost, we will.
Well, I have no doubts about that. I just wanted that point of reference, and I'm asking from complete ignorance. So thank you. That helps. Thank you.
It is somewhat of a challenging project. We'll be doing some of the drafting, but not all of it. The consultant will be required to come up with a horizontal and vertical alignment. They're going to set up the corridor. They're going to run cross sections, and it will be a challenge to fit a typical section through Oakwood Avenue with the slopes, with the development out there. On St. Joseph Street, it's going to take one or two iterations to get everything fit in that corridor. And I know there's been discussion about a trail and possible sidewalk and bicycle accommodations. We'll review that at the next Public Works Committee, but it will be somewhat of a challenging project.
Thank you for that information.
Any other questions or comments? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Julie, did you have a question?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought I saw your hand on
Okay.
Action item number 12, consent agenda. We'll take A through C. Oh, thank you. I crossed it off. I thought we were done. Action item number 11, request to fill building inspector position salary range.
Yes. Administrator Lane provided the position description for the building inspector. He had failed to provide the salary range. So currently, current salary is like $54,163. Proposed 2% increase in the 2019 budget would make it $55,250 approximately. Brad would like to set, and that $55,250 is at the low range of the salary scale we have. So he'd like to set the range from that low range up to $65,136, which is step 5 out of 9 in our salary schedule.
With different requirements for those different steps, or What would justify a higher rate, higher salary?
Looking at what some of the other municipalities are paying for this service, basically. So it would allow for some flexibility in the hiring rate.
Okay.
Based on, yes, experience and whatnot.
And has the job description changed at all?
From our current job description?
Yep.
That I was not... well, they're not, I believe it has because of the master plumber capabilities.
So there's no master plumber
currently.
Not dealing with water installations or water meter installations?
Qualifications, yes.
The position title is Building Inspector, Cross-Connection Inspector. So I think with the exception of the master plumbing qualification, I don't see any significant changes for this.
Okay. When Kevin was hired, we brought him on part-time water meter, part-time building inspector, and finished the water meter project.
Correct.
So he started taking on the cross connection,
yes,
as in addition to the building inspector. So really the job's the same.
It is. I guess I do see now that position qualifications include master plumber or ability to conduct residential cross connection plumbing inspections.
Okay. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Trustee Genrick. Do I have a second? Trustee Sampson. Any discussion? Trustee Harris.
I realize you didn't put it together, Julie, but I didn't know if any other municipalities have this type of position being exempt as opposed to non-exempt. I realize you won't.
Yeah.
Just with the involvement and amount of time and the expectations, is it more considered to be exempt as opposed to non-exempt? I'd rather ask now before approval.
Thoughts?
I guess, you know, I'd have to look at the specifications. Does that meet the exempt status? I believe, you know, we don't have a need for a full-time building inspector, so that's where we're looking if we can continue on with that cross connection, which otherwise gets contracted out.
And is the cross connection service, is that an ongoing thing,
yes,
or is that a time defined?
It's a yearly thing that we do. We have to do.
Julie, within that position, do they supervise anyone?
No.
That kind of puts a finishing touch on
that.
Okay, then I'm fine with it staying, you know, staying with it as listed as non-exempt. I'd just rather ask the question now.
Good question. Okay, any other discussion?
As we're going through the selection process, do you know who's going to be on the committee?
That I do not know.
Because usually it's just a group, so I was just wondering. I just know Kevin's been invaluable to residents, and I can speak to that. And we've got a lot of old housing that needs redone, and we need inspectors that work with people because it's not easy.
So character and personality as well,
yes,
as intelligence?
Very much so. And because there's a lot of times where, especially with our old and historic housing stock, they present unique challenges, and we need somebody to be able to work with people with those because sometimes there's just no clear-cut answers.
And I'm sure village staff will do this, but I encourage staff to find the highest quality candidate for the lowest possible price. Or should I say, be frugal? No pressure. But get the best candidate ever. Okay, any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. On to item number 12, A through C, consent agenda. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Action item number 13, does anyone want to see anything on a future agenda?
I'd like to see road width brought back and just change the ordinance so you don't run into this
right.
anymore. Instead of us doing exceptions, let's just get it to where it needs to be.
Makes sense.
Good point. And thank you for bringing that up.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else for future agenda items? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Trustee Dart, seconded by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much, everyone.